Are you having a hard time finding a godly spouse? Check out Help Meet Singles, the network for godly single men looking for a helpmeet and for godly single women looking to be a helpmeet. Our network users are endorsed by their pastors or fathers and committed to our firm standards of biblical orthodoxy, gendered piety, and personal holiness. Kiss the dating games goodbye and say hello to the intentional pursuit of marriage. Apply for free at helpmeetsingles.com.
Welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast, where we're serving up gospel-fueled courage to the Christian woman to remain faithful in her calling. Hello, and welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast. I am here with Kate and Becky today. How are you guys?
Good.
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 I feel like there are various parts of us just falling apart. Like, my hips are about to give out. And
yeah, but other than
that. Why is he falling apart on Jordan?
Well, I don't know.
I can think of a couple things.
It's just that it's the beginning of summer, and I feel like we're all toggling between doing everything and also resting and
not
trying not to overdo.
Yeah.
Not having normal schedules, which is great.
It is.
But also, we all have a tendency to overcommit.
Mm-hmm.
And
speak for yourself.
I was just going to say that, Jordan.
It's true. Yourself.
It's true. And I just think it's trickier because you're not on as much of a schedule, which is fun.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
it's just a different groove.
No, I think it opens up the temptation to just say yes to everything.
Yeah.
Like, well, this last week we had scheduled a play date, Kate, and then you texted me and said, actually, I have two play dates scheduled for that same time. Can we reschedule? Because it's easy to just say, well, of course we're not doing anything. We have nothing going on. It's summer.
Mm-hmm.
But we actually do have a lot.
I have to be very cautious about what I commit myself to. So we're talking about summer schedules, actually, today is what is our topic. We wanted to, Kate, you were the one who mentioned this. So why do you want to talk about it before I act like why I know?
So mainly, it's because we're in a really sweet spot with our toddler, where she's not entered school in a traditional sense as far as we're sitting down and homeschooling every day. So our yearly, like, fall, winter, spring has just been a lot of play and fun. And I've tried to add some structure just because we both thrive off of that. But I'm always interested to hear how people are doing summers when it's a legitimate break from school. Mm-hmm. So where we were just doing academy class for an hour on Friday morning, and this upcoming fall, we'll be doing 3 hours of class. So I'm toggling between just enjoying our summer, but also prepping, and then I'm teaching a class in the fall, and my toddler will be in 3 hours of classes for pre-K. So it's just, I feel like I'm in an interesting place where I'm prepping for things and prepping for pre-K next year, but also looking at other people who are ahead of me a couple years and just looking at, okay, well, what are they doing to prep for future school? How are they resting with their kids that are a little bit older? Mm-hmm. Because my summers don't look a whole lot different than my school year right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yours do.
Mine are very different.
Yes, because you have older kids that are doing school every single day, and we have not gotten to that point yet.
Yeah.
So, yeah. What about you?
So, in previous years, I would take summers to do the fun things that I felt like I didn't have time for during the school year, school stuff. So, like, extra project things or crafts, or if we're going to build a popsicle castle, it's going to be in the summer. Like, doing that stuff or doing fun summer school. So I would sit down at the end of the school year and make out a little list of things that I think sounded fun but didn't have time in my normal school years. And I would say spark summer school. And it would be things like water balloon math and all the things that you kind of see on Pinterest and think, I want to be that kind of homeschooling mom. And then real life, it's like, I'm not that kind of homeschooling mom that does water balloon math. But I did that in previous years, and it was very fun. And we would make it through like half of it, you know. Yeah. But this year, our school schedule was so full that I think all of us wanted to do kind of nothing other than what felt appealing and natural to do. So we're still practicing our instruments. We're still reading every day, having a silent reading time. We're still doing our chores and like normal life and those kinds of rhythms. But we're not doing any kind of summer school or anything like that. But we start back in July. So we really don't have that long of a break this year. Normally we get done in March, beginning of April. This year it was end of April, maybe even beginning of May that we ended officially, because Academy didn't really end until it was like May 8th or something.
Yeah,
whatever the beginning, first Friday in May was. And then our other homeschool supplement classes that we did this year ended a couple weeks after that. So we haven't had very long of a summer break by the time that we start back. So I'm like, full stop.
Yeah.
Full break, full breather. And we are just really enjoying life and doing lots of playing and enjoying each other and just having sweet conversations and sitting outside in the backyard. So that's a lot of what's going on at my house. And like I said, I'm having to be very intentional about what I say yes to and what I say no to. I think every family has different capacities and different things that they thrive in. And it can be different for different seasons. But I think our family just does best overall when we're home more. We all really like being home more. And we've had years that we are gone a lot. Like Jared had one year that he had a few more speaking engagements and we had more conferences and we camped a lot that year and had a couple trips and we were just gone a lot. And it was a lot and I didn't love it. It was fine for what it was, but I just feel like we're our kind of most peaceful, happy selves when we're home the most. But some people really like traveling, but I'm like, I just kind of love being home.
And I think especially too and I learned this kind of the hard way, because I was a go, go, go person pre being a mom. But I learned pretty quickly that toddlers and babies need more structure than I was giving her.
Yeah.
And just earlier bedtime. And I thrive off of like structure and earlier, you know, bedtimes and being home. And I didn't think I was like that, but I am. And I think that's a whole other discussion. But if your home is not a place of refuge for you, that might be a place that you can pray about this summer and think about, you know, why is that? Or, you know, is there, and there have been times, especially in motherhood, where I've had to think about, is it easier to leave because it's easier to not look at the things I need to do at home? Do I have good systems in place so I can enjoy my home and enjoy being at home and enjoy my kiddo at home and my family? Or is, you know, for a season, it was a little bit easier to leave because I felt right. more free, you know,
yeah.
I was like, well, there's a mess here and we're all melting down. So we might as well go.
Yeah.
Let's leave it. But then I thought, you know, why is that?
Right.
You know, is she melting down? She's melting down because I don't have a schedule. We're not on a schedule. And I'm melting down because I haven't emotionally regulated and prayed about that and submitted it to Christ and said, like, Lord, help me regulate myself because she can't regulate herself if I have not submitted my own emotion to Christ and asked for, you know, like repented and dealt with my own negativity or whatever about the day.
And the jobs don't go away.
That's the thing.
Like, I enjoy going on play dates.
Yeah.
I enjoy that. And it's, you and I talked about that the last time we went to the park, Becky. But I have to force myself to do those things because I feel like I have so much to do at home that if I go out for 2 hours, the things at home are just piling up behind me. And that's okay sometimes. And like we said, I was like, it's okay if the laundry baskets are not totally empty. I think when you have a productive home, like if you're wanting to have a home where you're doing a lot of things and you're trying to be productive and fruitful and your family is all doing that, there's just a lot to do at the house and there's no avoiding it.
Right.
So going out on play dates every single day may not be the healthiest thing because you're avoiding the things at home that need to be done.
And I also, sorry not to interrupt, but I want to point out before we move on too, if you don't feel, and I say this because I've been there before and I was really convicted about it, but if you feel like there's no chance for you to rest, are you Sabbathing? And are you structuring your week around, okay, Sunday is my rest? Not that we shouldn't find time to sit or do what we need to do or drink water. There's nothing wrong with sitting down during a kiddo's nap time and reading also, but there for a while, I was really convicted about it because I was trying to rest at all the wrong times. Mm-hmm. And then Sunday, I was doing dishes and laundry and doing all kinds of,
what am I doing?
And so I never had true rest because there was never anything devoted. And that kind of will end up talking about, I feel like, for summer too, but prioritizing your schedule and prioritizing trying to streamline things so that if you do want to go out during the summer and camp and fish and spend more time outside, okay, well, how are you changing your schedule inside to make that practically able to happen?
Yeah. Well, one thing I'm hearing from both is, you know, there's these two ditches that we can fall into, right? You've got your just leave the house. It's too chaotic. I don't want to be here. I just want to go do and do and do and do. And then you have the other ditch of, we're just going to hole up and we're going to be home forever and we're never going to see people. And then you can get really
weird. But everything's going to be super organized.
Everything's going to be organized and clean. But my mind is going to get weird, especially if you're an extrovert like me and you're not around people.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, I think.
I used to be an extrovert.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think I am anymore.
Are you?
I don't think so.
I think you're
shifting. I don't know. I like people.
But I also like, I'm kind of half and half. It kind of depends on the season and stuff too for me. But I think what's important is regardless of whether it's summer, spring, fall, winter, we're hitting a balance there where your days, you have a rhythm for your days and that's going to change. It's going to look different for different seasons. Like for me, and seasons of life, not just seasons of the year, but for me, I have two little girls who still very much need naps in the afternoon. And if we're foregoing naps so that we can go and do stuff, that's to their detriment.
Yeah.
And it's to mine too, because now I have two very tired little people who have no capacity to handle anything, you know? And it's just not a wise thing to do. And so for us, but I, like you said, Kate, I also thrive with some structure. But I also want to go do those fun play dates and want to go do fun stuff. And so what the balance that we've hit this summer is we still get up at the same time because what I don't want is we're starting back in July too, because here in Southern Illinois, July is like the January of summer where it's
blistering.
It's blistering hot. Nobody wants to go out because the mosquitoes are horrible. And it's just humid and it's hot.
You just have to be in water.
Yeah. Yes. If you're going to be outside, you have to be in water. And so for us, we're just going to start back in July because I feel like that's when our kids are naturally just in the house more anyway. So we might as well go ahead and start then. And then if we have a crazy year and we need to take off time during the school year, I'm not stressing about it because we have plenty of flex time. And worst case, we don't use any of it, or best case, we don't use any of it. We hit March or April and we're done.
Yeah.
But we don't sleep in a ton in the summer. We just kind of continue with our same morning rhythms where, you know, we get up. The kids always have a quiet activity to do at the table if they want to, or they can read a book. And then while I make breakfast, and then as soon as breakfast is done, we do our chores and they do their morning things, which is like make their bed, put their clothes away, tidy their rooms, that kind of thing. And then we have this pocket from about, you know, 8:30 or 9 in the morning until lunchtime where typically we would be doing school stuff. We now have that pocket. So if we're going to schedule a play date, it's going to be in that pocket so that it's not disrupting the flow of the rest of our day. Or if we're going to go on a hike, we love hikes, it's going to be in that pocket of time. So we can still go do all the fun stuff, but there's also an assigned time for it so that the whole day is not just willy-nilly kind of tossed everywhere. And then, you know, come home for lunch or picnic for lunch, rest time in the afternoon still. And even though, I know I've said this on here before too, but even though Jack is 6 now, he still rests in the afternoon. And that's my quiet time too, where if I need to do some reading or, you know, just have some chill time, that's my time. And keeping that regular rhythm, I feel like, has helped maintain a good balance of we're going and doing fun stuff. Like this last week, I think we had something every morning almost, you know, but the house stuff is taken care of first. And then, you know, all those other pieces come into play
or fall into place too. But
speaking of a six-year-old still doing a rest time, I've talked to lots of homeschool families that have said that they continue this quiet time in the afternoon throughout life, basically, until their kid is graduated or out of the house, then they can do what they want, obviously. But just for the atmosphere of the home and the family's rhythm, there remains this time in the afternoon where everybody's either working on an independent project. Like, I have one friend who their afternoon time is when her high school kids are working on skills. So if she has a daughter that's wanting to learn to sew, that's the time that she gets a couple hours to grow in that skill. Or a son that's working in woodworking stuff, he's working a couple hours in the afternoon in his skill that he's working on. But everybody's kind of independently quiet and working on their things. But yeah, I think that's just a really healthy thing to continue on. Like, just because your child stops napping doesn't mean that they have to stop doing some kind of an independent activity.
Especially because we all throw, I mean, I think moms and parents everywhere can agree that parents, adults also thrive on a rest time.
Yeah.
Just having a
reset.
Yes, a reset time. So, of course, kids thrive off of that too. Sally Clarkson, I was reading, I have her Life Giving Home book, which has been a really, really sweet read. Yeah. She just has so many good practical tips that are like whimsical and fun and very practical and life-giving. And one of the things that she mentioned that she did with her kids just throughout their growing up was she did a tea time in the afternoon with different little like croissants or, you know, cookies or whatever. And they would have their own quiet time activities. And then they would convene after that for tea time.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what a fun way to spend time together, but also have time where you're reading independently or whatever it is. You're quietly practicing your instrument or whatever. Mm-hmm. You choose, but I thought that was fun.
I love that.
Yeah.
It's like something to look forward to as we come back together.
Yes.
An orderly way to come back together. That's
yeah.
cool. I think another thing, too, for summers or just motherhood in general is to be reminded that you are the manager of the home and you can set the schedule.
Because
a lot of times you can get into a groove, and I know I've done this before, of letting kid emotions set the groove of what you're doing at what time. Or what they think that they should be doing at that time. And you're like, oh, okay, sure. And it's like, no. What's actually best for everyone in our family, including myself? And not only what's best for the kids, but also like, how can I best thrive in the season? What do I need? And sometimes that means, like I said, my kids are waking up later this summer. Or they're allowed to come up later this summer from the room. If they wake up earlier, they read in the bed or do something quietly. Like, the time that we are all coming together for breakfast is a little later than it was during our school year. And that is because I wanted to exercise in the morning and I wanted to get time to sit with Jared in the morning. And that has been really lovely. And at first, I think I felt a little guilty about it. Like, that was super selfish of me to make them sleep in. But now, like, they are actually sleeping and their bodies actually needed that.
Yeah.
And it was good for them. And it's been really good for me. So I think just being reminded that we are managers of the home, and not to be selfish, but also not to do things to the detriment of yourself.
Yeah.
And like you said, Kate, earlier, just in case anybody's in that spot that you were talking about earlier where, you know, you're leaving the house all the time because you don't have good systems at home. If you're trying to get good systems at home, while yes, you have more pockets in the summer, don't burn out all of your summer hours trying to blitz the house and overturn everything. Know that those things take time. Maybe pick one or two of those organizational projects per week and say, okay, this week I'm going to work on the school cabinet and get that ready. But don't try to blitz your entire house in a week, because you're going to look back at your summer and go, wow, we did nothing fun.
Yeah.
But the house is in really good order. And while it's good to have your house in order, you got to find that balance too.
Yeah.
So my encouragement, if you're in that kind of season, is pick one or two things a week, the refrigerator one week, and then pick, you know, the school cabinet or whatever your top priorities are. Write them out and say, okay, these are the areas in my home that are stressing me out. I'm going to pick one or two and have a create a plan for how you're going to go about that. That way you're not just haphazardly all of a sudden redoing the laundry room.
Yeah.
And, oh, well, kids, pack up everything. We're going to Hobby Lobby to go get containers or whatever, you know. But create a plan for it and just know that that's a plotting kind of work. That's not a bust it all out in the summer kind of a job. And so, you know, chip away at it. Don't use all your summer hours doing that.
I really want you to see my garage. I want you to come and see it in person.
I saw the videos and it made me so happy.
I didn't see videos.
Magically OCD. I love it.
I love
much.
Can I come over too?
Yes,
get inspiration.
Please. So I told Kate earlier that our garage is where everyone enters our house. You don't really, just the way that the driveway is, you don't walk up on my front porch unless you don't ever come to my house. And then maybe you would feel like you should walk
to my front porch. One time at small group when we started coming to your small group.
That was really polite of you.
We walked to the front door and I remember it took a minute.
Yeah, because no one comes to the front door.
Nobody came to the front door. Like, what are you doing here? And I was like, well, Emma's your front door. You're like, my garage is open.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But you pull in and then the garage is right there. So everyone walks in through the garage, in through my laundry room / pantry. So I told Kate just before this that I'm not allowed to have that be my area of shame because everyone walks through it.
And it came up because mine is my area of shame.
But hers is hidden. So it's lovely because she gets to have it private area of shame.
Yes. My Christmas tree is still in it. So there's that.
Yeah, and kittens.
And our new kittens. Yeah. So that's why Jordan was in there and we were talking about the area of shame.
See, I have in my garage and it stinks and everyone walks through it. So
I've never noticed it.
Well, come now. It still smells like cat pee and I bleached it and like mopped it with a big broom thing and it still stinks.
I always thought it looks being there. Good.
Well, now it's
and your pantry's cute and
well, whenever we first moved in, the pantry wasn't really cute. It was just like a pantry. But then I was like, everyone keeps coming through here. I need to make it cute. So I tried to make it cute because it has to be presentable, I feel like. I wish that my house was laid out where people came to the front door, but it's just not really like that.
I can start coming to your front door if that makes you feel better.
It really doesn't because I'd be like, wait, where's the knocking? And that door is locked usually for some reason. But anyways, our garage. Jared made like stations now. So we have like the fishing station. So all the fishing poles are hung really perfectly in these hanger rack thing that he made. And then like the tackle boxes are there. The life vests are hanging underneath it. Everything is like orderly. And then he has like chainsaw station. And then we have like axe station. And it's really OCD and awesome.
I love that.
I love it.
Beautiful.
But it smells like cat pee, so just ignore that. You can't have everything in life.
No. I was going to ask if you guys had, so I kind of separated mine into little, and we've talked about a lot of stuff, but I had some food. I've changed the way I make food for summer.
Lovely.
You don't cook?
I don't eat food. We don't eat. No, I'm just kidding. So I feel like in the wintertime, I'm all into the soups and the really hearty, and everything takes a long time, but I'm inside because it's 10 degrees and there's a blizzard and it does, so it doesn't matter. But in the summer, Audrey and I just want to be outside all the time. And I say me and Audrey because Ben is working so that I can be outside. So I've had to change because we have a big pond and we live in the country and I have a 3-year-old who I don't trust at all outside by herself. She would probably bring me like a rat in a purse or something, or a snake or a dead skunk or something. So I've had to, in the mornings, I have to start laundry, empty the dishwasher immediately. And I started prepping all of our breakfasts ahead of time. So everything is like frozen egg bites, frozen waffles, frozen whatever. I've started making like protein waffles and protein smoothies and fruit smoothies and all that. And everything is almost always pre-made. I've just batched it at the beginning of the week. And then we eat on it all week because we immediately want to be outside. Mm-hmm. And then I got an Instapot, which has changed my whole life. I didn't think I would be an Instapot person. I am. It never leaves my kitchen counter now because it's so easy. But we're about to have a lot of veggies from the garden, so I'll have to go like start canning and things like
really
that.
Good, by the way,
I would say thank you, but Ben deserves all the credit. He's done all the work, and I've just watched.
There's no
or
grass
played with
growing.
Audrey. That's because he got the tiller out the other day and he tilled the whole.
Did the hay
thing.
Make grass?
Yes.
Yeah. That's what happened to me.
So in a straw.
I don't know.
I think it was just.
I think it
whatever.
Was the, Jared was like, it was the right thing. There
that's
was
what
supposed
Ben
to be grass in it, but
so,
there was grass. In
yeah.
It.
So he tilled it up. He does a great job with the garden, and then I just eat the food and can it and prepare it. We do, which I feel almost shameful saying this, But we just use a lot of like paper plates.
Oh yeah,
in the summer.
I do too.
Like I just don't. No, I just don't want to do dishes. Somehow we use our dishwasher constantly now that we're all home and now that I'm not working outside the home, you know. So I just run the dishwasher sometimes twice a day. Oh, yeah. I'm like, where are these dishes coming from? So in the summer, I'm like, I don't want to run the dishwasher twice.
My sister-in-law and I have talked about this. And she was like, I just want to get everyone one designated plate and one designated cup. And that's all you get to use. And if you want to use it again, you got to wash it. And you only get one plate for your life.
Okay. So the whole...
Don't judge me. Don't judge me, but I have. Because our dishwasher broke 2 months ago. I don't know. But it broke.
I feel like it was a long time ago.
Was it longer than that?
It feels to me like it's been a long time.
It's been at least 30 years ago. When I was a toddler, my dishwasher broke. And the first day, and I know I've said this on here too, but the first day I was super fussy. And Brandon lovingly was like, hey, we're not going to do this. Like, we can't. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a while before we can replace it. We are not. We got to find something that works or just a cheerful attitude or something, you know. Mm-hmm. So he was very sweet about it. But, and I was like, you're right. I'm being a toddler and I need to stop. So Kate was actually at my house and I was like, oh, I have this great idea. The next day I was like, everybody's going to get one. We're going to have one cup,
yeah,
one plate, yeah, one fork, one spoon, one knife. Everybody has one of everything. And Brandon came home from work the next day and I was like, I figured it out. I have a solution. And I told him, and he was like, okay. Mm-hmm. He's like, if that's your solution, I'm not going to argue, you know? Mm-hmm. And it actually has worked out great. I'm still doing dishes 3-4 times a day, but it's not,
you're not,
it so, doesn't feel insurmountable.
Yeah, and you're not so tempted to grab another cup.
Right. Because you can't.
Yeah.
Right.
You can't. Have
one. And they're not piling up in your sink because everybody has one. Because
they can't.
Right.
there are five plates in my house.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. What did you, like, actually took your other plates
away? I actually did. I took them away. They're hidden in another cabinet.
Nobody gets
the funny part was though, my in-laws came over.
Oh.
And my mother-in-law opens the cabinet. She's like, I was like, oh, sorry, let me get the plates out.
Let me get our company plates.
Where's the company plates?
What's going on?
And I told her and she just laughed. She's like, no, I get it. I get it. But it really has worked well. So if you're washing dishes by hand, just give everybody one of everything and it works great. Or sometimes don't feel bad about paper plates. Because sometimes I don't give my kids any plates. I use those multiple section container things.
Yeah.
So at the beginning of the week, I chop up all our veggies and for like snacks, and I'll put those into one of those containers. And then I'll chop up a bunch of fruit and put them into one of those containers. So when it's time for like lunch or snack or whatever, I just pull out the tray. I'm like, here's a lot.
Yeah.
Here you go.
There's a lot of food.
I also have seen
where people have gotten those little plastic fair food like tray
things that are
super cheap and they just get wax paper, like those individual sheets, and they have their kids eat out of those all summer.
Like a basket?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like little fry baskets or like you'd get nachos out of them or
nachos in them.
Can't speak today.
At like a fair
somewhere. Yeah. I actually don't know where I've had food out of one of those things, but I know I have.
Yeah.
Restaurants.
Sometimes
at restaurants.
Some little hole in the wall burger places.
Yeah, like fish and chips in that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But I thought those would be fun if I ever came across that.
They also make those little.
That is a good idea.
Yeah.
I think you use these one time, like little paper ones.
Yeah.
My kids had snacks in them, I feel like.
I feel like some get together or party that we had, I got those. And I can't remember what we had. I can't remember anything about it other than I think I got those for something that was like an outdoor event that we did. And it worked really well, like the little paper boat.
Yeah. I was also going to mention, I know you have a clothesline. Do you have a clothesline?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you do, in the back.
Yeah, I have a retractable clothesline that I...
Line.
What was that?
You have a zip
line? Yeah,
oh, wait,
I used the zip line the other day for my sheets, and that works great.
Like, yeah.
Why don't? And it's a little sunnier over there.
Yeah.
My backyard is more shaded where I have the retractable one, but I like that one too. I hung back.
That's something I've been doing a ton because we want to get outside as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. So if I start laundry first... It's like a 56-minute cycle, and then we can eat, and then and then we go outside with all the wet laundry and put it up.
Yeah,
and we can spend all morning out there, and then usually something's in the Instapot or the Crock-Pot because I don't want to come in to make the food.
We really like being outside too. And we don't have a pool. I don't really want a pool, but we have a water slide bounce house situation. And that is worth every penny. And ours was cheap actually on Amazon. We got it for Francis' birthday last year, I think.
Yeah.
And we just use it almost every day in the summer, and our kids will play the entire day and be entertained.
Did you see ours on the front porch? Because I haven't put it away. I just keep dragging it.
Oh, great story. Okay. I needed a new tote to put mine in.
Yeah.
Because the one that we inherited from someone else, the large tote that we had, was just completely cracking and being destroyed. And I don't know if you've priced large totes lately, but they're very expensive for a gigantic tote. And I was telling my mother-in-law the other day, I was like, I just am unwilling to pay $75 for a large tote. Some of them are more than that. Some of them are like $125. But I was like, be looking at yard sales and estate sales for a large tote because I don't want to pay that. So today I went to an estate sale and got two giant totes.
The
exact one that I needed that fits perfectly in this wire shelving thing. And then another one that is like a rolling one with a really good sealing lid that I'm going to put it in the wintertime for storage. So another way that God provides. Yeah, I just talked about this on the finances one that Jared and I recorded, but this, it's just God always provides, always provides with stuff like that. Yeah. It's like, that's exactly what I needed. It was $4 and the other one was $5, and praise God.
Yeah, so it's awesome. It's
really cool. But anyways, the bounce house thing, my kids are entertained the entire day. Like they eat breakfast and then go outside, start doing things on the bounce house. Probably don't turn the water on yet because they might be too chilly in the morning early. And then we come in after supper.
Yeah.
It's time to take a bath and go to bed. And then also we have a little sandbox that my kids will play in for hours. I got new sand for it the other day and cleaned up the little area, and they will play for hours in a sandbox. And they just are very entertained outside with those two items. We also have the zipline. It's like not used as much as the sandbox, but just finding things to have outside so that your yard is an entertaining area for your kids and they will want to go out there.
We've tried so many different like little sprinklers or splash pads or, you know, things like that. Not to the level of you guys, as yours are still like top notch, but we've tried like smaller ones. And I feel like they never lasted well for the summer. So last year, I bought a metal, one of those like fan sprinklers, like old school night style.
They're so amazing.
If you get a metal one instead of a plastic.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, my kids love that.
Don't get a kid sprinkler.
No.
Just get a grass sprinkler.
Get a grown-up sprinkler.
Got one at a yard sale, $3.
Nice.
I know.
Nice.
Those are always at yard sales and estate sales. Everyone, old people pass away and they always had
a nice there's metal a reason sprinkler. They lasted. Or however long. But yeah, my kids love that. And they like to put it underneath the trampoline.
Oh, fun.
And then it makes like a real big splashy kind of situation on the trampoline. And it's a lot of fun. It also makes it super slippery. So don't put the baby on there with the bigger kids. We learned that. She thought it was funny, but I was a little nervous and kidding.
She was unbothered.
Food thing that we do is I have a bread recipe that makes 5 loaves. And I will do this, I don't know, a couple times a month or something, where I'll make those 5 loaves of bread and make them all into peanut butter and jellies and stick them in the freezer. And that is a great summertime situation because you don't have to think about it and you just grab out the peanut butter and jellies and you're done.
Is it a sourdough bread loaf?
No, nope, those are just normal.
Okay.
Normal yeast bread.
You'll have to share that on Instagram.
Okay.
Becky, can you talk about trip prep?
Yes.
Okay, real quick, because I only have one tip because I haven't learned everything yet about prepping for taking children places, but we're going to Texas in a few weeks. So I'm taking notes.
Oh, fun.
Yes. However, I cannot travel without all my herbal tinctures because I'm like, what will happen? So I got one of those. It's a Vera Bradley, you know, those like travel makeup organizers that have like zippers and stuff. So I got really irritated because none of my Ziplocs were big enough for like the 15 tinctures that I have to take.
Yeah.
And all the salves and all the crunchy stuff that I can't leave without because none of the stores have them. That's now.
Yeah.
Walmart and Walgreens and all them, they aren't going to have everything I need. So anyway, I got one of those. So I was, for a while, I was like, okay, I need to find one of those. I'm not spending $20, $30 on one because it's going to be in my closet most of the time. Well, I went to Goodwill last summer and found a Vera Bradley one in like brand new condition for $5. Cool. And so anyway, all my tinctures go in that. They pretty much stay in it because I know where they're all at. Mm-hmm. And then if I need something at home, then I just run and go get it. But that has been a really easy way for me to carry all of them and safely travel with them without having to zip and unzip a ton of Ziploc bags.
One question I have really quick. This is a side note.
Yep.
What do you guys use for like mosquito bites? What do you do? Anything? Do you have a mosquito bite solution?
I do Prid for like every bite.
I just put out a recipe for a drawing salve recently. I should try to do that. I had a drawing salve that I got from like Homestead something something. They also make a calendula salve.
We can also. Oh, I was just going to say, I feel like we use our drawing salve all summer. Whether it's like a tick or bug bite or anything.
Yeah, that was
the other thing. Something that's really itchy.
Jared and Pravi both have this situation where if they get a mosquito bite, it's giant and mosquitoes are so drawn to them. It's so weird. I rarely get a mosquito bite. But
the same blood type?
I don't know.
There are some blood types that
they are
really
like
do.
Mosquitoes love them, and I'm like, you poor girl. But I got one of those bug bite suction thingies.
Oh yeah, have you helped?
Waiting for someone to get bit. I'm like, if anyone gets bit by something, please come to me. I have a tool. I can't wait to use. Oh, it has like a keychain thing. I should maybe just put a keychain. But I did use it for Valor got a tick on him, and he just decided to pull it off himself, and the head was still in it.
Oh.
And I was trying to like get it out with tweezers. I was like, oh, I should try that suction thing, and it got it out.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
This is a side note, but our neighbor Terry, who we go to church with, also taught me to cut the end off of one of those like Benadryl syringes or like any syringe that comes with like a medication and it gets splinters out.
Yeah. This tool. This tool could do that too because it just
I should probably get the tool, but I.
But it's a similar situation. I don't know why you couldn't just use a medicine syringe.
Splinters are attracted to my kid.
Yeah.
So.
Maybe it was your deck.
It's the deck. It is. It really is.
Jack is a rough and tumble kid. He has gotten so many splinters, but he hates anything medical. I can say, hey, honey, I need to put a Band-Aid on that. And he's like, nope, absolutely not. So splinters are just a really big, really big deal for him. And the other day, he got a splinter. I said, come here, baby. I got to get that out. And he goes, nope, I'm just going to keep it till I'm a grown up.
No,
I don't think so.
It's funny.
So I'll have to try that because I feel like that would be a much better
I guess if it's a small splinter, you don't have to cut the head of it off or like saw it off like a, what's it called when you, a shotgun?
Yeah.
Like when you, what's it, what is it? Sawed off shotgun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I feel like I'm doing when I chisel away at the syringe.
But so a tip with that too. So if you have tinctures, because it's tricky because you're, you could buy multiple if you wanted to have a travel thing. So one thing for travel, let me back up a second. One thing for travel that I like to do is my in-laws live about 7 hours away. So we make that drive, you know, as often as we can and vice versa for them. But that's a lot to prep for with kids. And you know that you're going to be far away and you just need all your stuff. So I tried to streamline all of our trip prep as much as possible. And one of the things that I did was make a travel medicine kit. And when I first bought tinctures and stuff from Earthly, I just saved those first bottles and then would just add when I would buy the next one, I would just take some of those, take a little bit because you don't need an entire bottle of Feel Better Fast or an entire bottle of tummy relief.
Yep.
But like you said, if you're away from home and somebody starts puking, you're going to need some of those medicines that you can't just go to Walmart and get. And so having those that way there, I have our regular medicine cabinet stocked, but I also have those other tinctures just ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
And there've been sometimes. There was actually one time Brandon, he was like, hey, I'm speaking at this conference and
They just told me I can bring the family, and it was like a day or two away. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess I'm packing for all five of us now. And it made it really easy because I just grabbed the medicine bag, and then I keep a travel bag packed at all times for the kids that has travel toothbrush, toothpaste, hair stuff for the girls, shampoo because we have some sensitive skin kiddos, so I don't use like the hotel soap and, you know, things like that. So I keep their soaps, shampoo, conditioner, all that kind of stuff. So I have all of our travel things packed always. So if there's ever a last minute thing or even just prepping for a trip, like we're going to my in-laws next weekend, and I can just grab that stuff and toss it in, and it takes off. You'd be surprised how much it takes off of your list by, you don't have to think about toothpaste. You don't have to think about.
Where do you keep all of this travel things?
Underneath the kids' bathroom sink. I've got a decent amount of storage underneath there. And so, and it really doesn't take, I mean, it really doesn't take that much space. You could store them in a closet. You could store them under a bathroom sink.
That's okay. I never know where to put these things.
Yeah, you got that big vanity downstairs now. Do you have storage underneath that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Store it under there.
I should.
Yeah. Because then when you go to pack, so now when you come home from the trip too, this is another trip prep tip, but when you come home from the trip, you reset everything. So if you ran out of deodorant, go ahead and grab the deodorant. If you ran out of toothpaste, get a new toothpaste and pop it in there. That way you know that when you go to pack that next time, you're not going, what did I run out of 5 months ago? You know, or 3 months ago, however long ago it was. So it's just ready to grab and go. And then when it comes time to actually pack, you're looking at, you know, things like clothes and snacks for the road and things like that. And then when it comes, are you going to share that one about clothes?
What?
Are you going to share the clothes?
No, I was going to talk
about. One of you needs to, though.
So I'm leaving Monday for a trip. And the place we're going, we're going to be there 5 days. And there's no kitchenette, but there's like a microwave and a mini fridge.
Okay.
But I'm not going to be going out, and there's no like breakfast provided or anything like that. So we decided for our family that we're going to eat breakfast and lunch in our room. But then we'll probably try to go out in the evenings because we're going with our family, extended family. But we try to eat pretty clean. So even the evenings, I'm like doing my research on what restaurants in the surrounding area are like seed oil free and stuff, because that's something that's important to us. But I was going to tell you some of the things that I got for our easy breakfasts and lunches that are clean, but yet prepackaged, because I can't cook, you know, there's a microwave. So, and honestly, like we're on vacation. I don't want to do a very strenuous situation. So I'm trying to think of like easy things. So I ordered a bunch of stuff from Thrive and some stuff from Kroger. So breakfast, have you tried Magic Spoon cereal? Like
no,
I went on like a cereal exploration last month. I'm like, what cereals would, we don't really buy cereal because it's expensive and there's a lot of us and most of them have bad ingredients. But I looked online for like some clean ingredient cereals, and there's like Lovebird.
Lovebird.
Is that right?
Lovebird? I don't know. I haven't heard of that one.
I think it's called Lovebird. Does that sound right?
I think so.
And then Magic Spoon and
Cascadian Farm.
Yeah, that's
ingredients.
So anyways, Magic Spoon was our favorite, and there's a lot of protein in that one. So I got a box of cereal for our trip, Scout Bars are my other breakfast thing, and yogurt. So that'll be our breakfast for the week. And then lunches, I did mac and cheese cups that were decent-ish ingredients. Some of the Annie's ones are cleaner than other Annie's ones for some reason. Have you noticed this?
Like, no,
some of them have coconut oil and some of them do not. But I mean, this is all like varying levels of crunchy. So anytime I talk about food, I'm like, there's people out there that are like, there is gums.
That's crunchy.
So it's like, you know, these are our week of vacation foods. This isn't, you know, life. But so we got that. And then I got pouches of like the Safe Catch tuna and salmon and crackers. And then there was a, they're called Walking Tamales, and they're like really clean ingredients, little tamales that I'm excited to try. And rice and beans for lunch that are like in microwavable things. So those are our breakfast and lunches. And then a bunch of snacks like meat sticks and apple sauces. And we like the Soli fruit sticks. They're like dried mango and different things. We like those a lot. And then just like dried mango bags. What else did I get? the Lesser Evil brand has some good snacks that we like the popcorn and space balls and things like that are fun and seed oil free. I can't think if there's any others or not, but those are our foods for the trip. And there was something so satisfying about like putting it all together and thinking of our meals because it's like a new challenge to think of stuff.
And I'm sure it makes it, a lot of that can be packed ahead of time too.
Oh, it's all packed.
You know, so
it's
you don't have to worry about refrigerating or, you know, all of that on the trip too.
It's all ready to go. And I have the plan for all of it. So we get to just kind of enjoy our trip and not have to think about food too much.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Go ahead. I just talked a long time. You talk about how we do kid clothes.
Oh, so I don't remember where I even learned this hack, but it's forever changed how I pack for kids. So you get one of those over-the-door shoe hanging organizers, and you can hang it, obviously, you know, you hang it up on the back of a door, and then as you're packing, you just put an outfit per each little pocket. And then once you have all of your outfits in there, which it's nice too, because as you're packing, I know for me, I try to catch up the laundry before we leave. Mm-hmm. So we're not coming home to, you know, like stinky clothes. And because we need to pack those clothes most of the time.
You eat those underwear.
And so, yeah, you do. And so as I'm doing laundry, instead of putting all the laundry away and then packing, I can just roll them up and then pop them in. And it's so easy because you're not digging through a bunch of suitcases or looking at a bunch of piles trying to see what you have. You can just look at the back of a door and say, okay, yeah, Elsie has 3 PJs. She has this many outfits. She has, you know, and so on for each kid. So you roll them up and you stick the kids' clothes in each pocket, and then you fold up the pocket organizer and don't forget the hooks.
Yeah.
Did you pack your hooks?
It's still hanging on the door.
Okay. Make sure you pack your hooks because we have had to makeshift hooks or just like lay it out on the floor and don't touch these, you know, because we've forgotten the hooks a couple times, but make sure you pack the hooks. And then when you get to your location, you just put the hooks back over the door and you hang up the whole organizer, and then it's so easy to see what's already been used and what outfits you still have that are clean, and you don't end up with, hypothetically speaking, a husband who was very nicely trying to get the kids dressed and grabbed all dirty clothes, or you know, like this top that goes to this outfit, or you know, something
that's
like that.
That's why I like it, because you can see the outfit together. It's like, okay, I know this is her shorts, shirt, socks, underwear, boom, all in the thing. It's really nice.
And if you like, you know, at bedtime, Brandon will be like, hey, where's the kids' PJs? Or you know, well, it's easy. I can say, well, they're all on the bottom.
Yeah.
Or you know, he can go in and see, okay, this is where the PJs are. We're not all rifling through all these suitcases.
Yep. And I think you roll yours up and put it in a suitcase, right? Mm-hmm. That's what you do. I just roll mine up and put a bungee cord around it and throw it
that's
in the
smart.
Because I don't have another suitcase. So it works just fine like that, too.
I have a
big tangle in my hair, if you're wondering what I'm doing over here.
Yeah, you're good.
Always a really big tangle back here. And when I'm sitting still, I'm like, I should work on that.
I should work on that.
On the podcast.
Yeah. Now's a good time.
I posted that tip the other day, and someone wrote me and said that they went on vacation, and they had 10-foot doors in their beach house, so they couldn't hang it up because it was too tall. But you could always just slide it under bed. One time you had to slide it. So, yeah, I love that tip, and I will forever do that until my kids' clothes are too big.
I know. Actually, so my aunt told me she found, what were they called? They were called packing cubes, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
So it works. They're basically just like big pockets, you know, like zipper pouches.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she swears by them. She and my uncle love to travel, and they'll just pack one outfit. So it's almost like a grown-up version of the pockets.
Yeah.
And she said it would work for bigger kids. Excuse me, for bigger kids clothes too, or for Jack, because he's getting to the point now where his clothes, especially if we're in wintertime, like you put a hoodie in there for a big kid, and there's no way. So I just put his like one per pocket.
Yeah.
And he's getting to the point where he's going to need his own bag or his own organizer, you know, but it's still way easier than everything tossed in a suitcase.
So nice.
One thing I started doing when Audrey was a little bit younger, I wish I would have figured it out sooner, but it made my life so much easier. My husband had a weird work schedule, so Audrey and I would oftentimes go places without him because he couldn't get off work and he worked really weird hours. And so we would just go visit like his parents or my parents and do overnights. And I just created a nighttime Ziploc for her. So it had pajamas, pull-up, wipes, toothbrush, toothpaste, at the time a passy,
like monitor whatever we would need to do bath time and bed.
Yes. Yes.
Because in the beginning, I was searching, like I knew where I had put everything, but I was in different pockets yes. in my bag.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this is just a waste of my time. I'm the one packing. Yeah. I should make it easier for yeah. myself. So I still do that. Like I just put her pajamas, toothbrush, toothpaste,
yeah.
All that just in one bag. And then I can... And sometimes, like, a grandma will do bath time or whatever. So I just hand the yeah, whole bag, awesome. And I'm like, here you go. Mm-hmm. Like, it's all right there, you know.
One thing I learned, too, if you're taking a long road trip, so we have kiddos that get car sick, and you might end up going down the interstate with a child throwing up, when you just have to pull over and figure out the situation. So one thing that I started doing, instead of having to dig through the bags and try to get to the bottom of whatever to get all the clothes and the towel or whatever, I started keeping an emergency bag like right at the front of the back of our van, so that as soon as you open up the hatch, you have this bag that has a puke bucket, it has towels, baby wipes, and then a change of clothes for each kid. So if any of them have gotten sick,
mm-hmm.
I'm not rifling through a ton of stuff.
I think I've said, I mean, you need to get the little puke hospital
things. I do need to get
yeah.
those.
Yeah, you do need a bucket. You just need the little puke things.
The bucket happened because, hypothetically speaking, this actually happened. So we were going down the interstate.
Yeah.
And that's when we realized, this kid's going to have a hard time. What are we going to do? And so Brandon whipped over to, it was like a big truck stop. And I was like, okay, we have to find something that will catch.
Yeah.
And I found one of those collapsible
buckets,
you know?
Yeah.
And so it just, it collapses down and fits really nicely in there. So
I have the hospital puke catchers
mm-hmm.
in the back of the seats. Video.
That's really smart.
So anytime someone feels the need to puke, they can just grab it
and just right
throw it. Puke, and then we'll just throw it away. And
stop.
Just throw it away. We'll
twist it up and we'll throw it away.
That,
yeah.
Don't have to wash that bucket.
Yeah. That was the hiccup, too, is figuring out
now what
do I
wash a vomit bucket at a truck stop?
Good afternoon, everyone. Where can I wash this?
One thing that's made my life a lot easier, especially when I was driving with Audrey a ton without Ben, which we still, like, if we're going places during the day or whatever, it's still just me and her usually because he's working. But my mother-in-law gave me... What is it called? It's like this giant bag that looks like a crock.
Oh, yeah.
And it has the flat top.
I've
been talking about it to your house almost every time I come.
Yes, you do. It's really...
It's... what are they called?
It looks like a
crock.
I know what
crock. And you can...
It's like a ditch bag.
Things in the side.
A rubber beach bag.
Yes, it's like
holes
that.
In it, yeah.
That's going to drive me nuts. But anyway, when she gifted it to me, I thought, oh, it's a bog bag. That's what it's called. And I wouldn't have purchased it for myself because I would not have thought that I would use it this much. But she got me the extra large one. And it has been the most practical thing, I think, that I've used since I became a mom. Like, one of the most practical things, because I put all of our, like, any time we're doing even, like, a hour-long trip, I pre-pack all of the snacks, books, whatever. She has a little Tony box. I put that and some characters in it. Anything I think she's going to need during the car ride. Snacks for me, my coffee,
yeah,
anything I want. Like, usually I have a tincture or two in there because who knows when mm-hmm. someone, mm-hmm. you know, is going to need something. And it has been the best. And I'm not saying you need to go out and buy a bog bag, but there's
just
so many.
Have a bag.
Just have a travel bag. The reason I like the bog bag so much is it's so durable. I just spray it down,
nice.
Hard bottom. Flat, so I can literally put a tray of like snacks mm-hmm. in a Tupperware container or something in the bottom, and everything just stays flat because it's a flat bottom bag. And they're probably great for the beach too. I don't know, I've never taken it to the beach, but just having a bag that is really durable, you can wash it really easily without having to toss it in the wash. Mm-hmm. Because I've spent so much time digging through purses and stuff and things like spill or a snack spills in it or whatever. So I don't even keep snacks and stuff in there anymore, like if we're in the car, because I know my bog bag will just be a wipeable mm-hmm. situation.
Mm-hmm. So this wouldn't work for travel, but one thing I did last year for like beach days, because everything gets sandy and I have a beach bag, but I got one of those cheap laundry baskets from Walmart, and that's our beach thing. Because mm-hmm. by the time you put all the toys in a bag, you've got it all kind
life
of
jackets.
Busting out of the top, yeah. life jackets, you know. So I just grabbed a big laundry basket. And as the kids get bigger with life jackets and stuff, honestly, I'll probably just grab a big plastic hamper.
Mm-hmm.
But that has been so much more practical for us than a cute bag
mm-hmm.
because there's just so much stuff that has to come with. And mm-hmm. it's so, it
lets a lot of air in too, because you have the slats in the side. So as things are, you know, drying and hanging out, they're not turning mildewy. You can just set it out on a back porch or, you know, dump it all out when you get home.
But at a yard sale once, I got two wire baskets that are about, how big is this? 18 inches?
Yeah.
And I am shocked. I use them every day of my life. I use them to, after I fold laundry, I'll put like everything that goes in that room in the basket and I carry it in there or, you know, all that. And then when I take people a meal, I use it. When we go places, I'll throw everything in it. But it's funny how those random things in life, you're like, I had no idea. I would use this so much and I needed it so much.
Yeah.
But I use that a lot.
That's smart.
Good yard sale find. It always sits on top of my dryer. I have two of them.
Very random tip that doesn't necessarily fit for summer, but if you have a lot of meal trains that you're signing up for taking meals to and you're a pickle family, save your So a lot of the ladies in our church are on the Band app, which is this app where you can just group communication. So somebody was talking about how they have these giant pickle jars because they're a pickle family, and I am not, but I'm about to ask people for pickle jars because one of the ladies in our church uses them to bring soup or like stew or different things to for meals, like things that are hard to keep from spilling all over the car. And I thought that's a great tip. Everyone should know about that because I didn't even think about
need one because you just take it and then and then pour it in their pot when you get there and take it back. You just need
need
a large pickle jar in your life.
I do. I have to ask.
Ask Kathy. She can take them away. But she doesn't have the lid. Which is the problem.
Yeah.
Maybe
does anyone out there have a pickle lid? I'm in need of one.
You know what? I'll probably find one at a yard sale now. Yeah. It'll be 25 cents. The Lord will be like, here it is.
Here's your pickle lid.
Here's your lid.
That's funny.
I think another sweet thing about summertime is that there is a little bit more time. So one thing the other night, I was just sitting outside and the kids were playing and one of my kids just came and sat down beside me and we just talked for the longest time. And I'm like, this is what is such a blessing about when you have extra time. Mm-hmm. And I just really enjoyed talking to him for, we probably sat for an hour and just chatted while the other kids were playing. And at the towards the end of it, he's like, man, I love hanging out with you. It was so fun to talk. Oh, I was like, I know. I love hanging out with you too.
So
And I think just setting priorities of like, that's what I want our family to be like. I want us to have such an excess of time that we can sit and look at each other and talk about something. And that's really important to me, way more important than going on extra trips or doing extra music lessons or anything. Because sometimes you can get so caught up on things that are profitable or beneficial for your family that you don't even have time to just have those sweet moments because you're always doing the next thing. And it's like, I want to have leisure time to really sit and enjoy each other's company and spend time developing our relationship more. So I think as you're planning your summers, set your priorities of what do we want to be like as a family? And we talked about, I want to be a family that camps. I want to be a family that goes on hikes. And to do that, you have to go on the camping trip and go on the hike. So, and be the family that has enough time to sit down and talk to one another and not feel rushed to do the next thing. So, as you're thinking about summer and setting your plans and priorities, maybe talk to your husband and be like, what kind of family do we want to be? Do we want to be a baseball family? Do we want to be a hiking family? You know, like what's important to you? And then prioritizing that as you set your schedule.
And remember, you can't do everything.
No.
You really cannot do everything, and you'll end up running yourself into the ground and your home along with it.
Yeah.
That's one thing that's been very sweet about summer for us is we aren't doing anything. Mm-hmm. You know, June did dance during the school year, and Jack did swim lessons and things like that. And I've had a few people ask, so what are you guys doing this summer? And I was like, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
We canceled it all. We're not doing any extra activities. While there was a benefit to dance, and June had a wonderful time, and same thing for Jack with swim, but it was more worth it to us to have that time to go on a picnic dinner because nobody has practice tonight.
Yeah.
And, you know, get to spend time together and do those fun things and take the camping trips, even if they're local.
Oh,
you know, Brandon's work schedule is going to be intense this summer, and that's okay. That's a blessing and it's a good thing. But it might mean that we're camping and I hang out with the kids for a bit while he goes and works and comes back. You know?
And that's okay. We mainly always, we go like on one camping trip that is not local, but we mainly always locally camp and I love it. And it's still a vacation for all of us.
Yeah. And you can still feel like you still get that time together. What's the word I'm looking for? You still get more time together while you're camping than you would if you were at home because you're seeing all of those other things that are kind of nagging at your brain. And
People can really make you feel obligated to do the extracurricular thing. Like your child will not be as developed if you're not doing this extracurricular thing. Mm-hmm. And just know that you are free to not do that extracurricular thing if you don't want to. But just feeling okay about not doing certain things and prioritizing other things, because I know I can do that. Feel guilty about being like, oh, I think we're going to not do it. Be like, no, you have to make the decision that's best for your family. Yeah, and no one else can make that decision for you. And then make that best decision and then feel no guilt about it.
Yeah. One last thing, and then I have nothing else, but I have been, so I think a lot of people are like this, but you really have to, especially when you have little people that just you have to keep an eye on, and they're, you know, there's just a lot of moving parts where you can't like set them free for like an hour by themselves necessarily. But one of the things I've had to really crack down on was what I was spending my content time on. Mm-hmm. Because for a while I was listening, especially when I was nursing and I had a little baby, I would just consume whatever Christian podcasts I wanted to listen to. And now I pretty much can only listen. I don't have much time, to just listen without having to pause a bunch and do the actual work that I'm want to do with my child or, you know, whatever. So one of the podcasts I've been really enjoying this summer, and it ties into summer because it's all about being outside, prioritizing if that's something that you want to do as a family and you're prioritizing being outside, this podcast has really helped me a lot think outside the box and really think about child development, how children thrive outside and how to be less worried about what they come in contact with outside and that kind of thing. But it's called the 1000 Hours Outside podcast. And I've not listened to all of her episodes. I can't fully endorse just like everything and every guest she has. And I've picked what I want to listen to just because I don't have time to consume all of it, and all of her episodes are like an hour ish but she's had a lot of really neat guests on that are occupational therapists, people that specialize people that specialize in child development, people that specialize in the like prioritizing moms being at home and how that impacts the kids later on. She's had just so many different people that have different pieces of wisdom to add to not only parenting, but it's all centered around getting into God's creation and being outside. And so a lot of them are Christians, because a lot of these people on the podcast are using whatever gifts the Lord has given them or degrees that they've earned to further the kingdom and do kingdom work, but it's all outdoor centered and it's all family centered. And a lot of them are homeschoolers So That's been a fun podcast, and there's so many books that they recommend on there too, which is exciting and overwhelming because I don't have time to consume all of them. However, that's a podcast that I can recommend in terms of if you're wanting to learn more about why and how kids thrive, being outside more and having more unstructured activity time. I think that's really opened my eyes to a lot, especially in a world of, and, you know, they talk about technology and how that's impacting kids. And for like, she had an occupational therapist on, I think it was an occupational therapist the other day, and they were talking about how kids are so unsteady on their feet compared to generations past. And it's a combination of the shoes they wear, that they wear shoes a lot, and that they're also not having unstructured outdoor play where they're climbing and they're jumping and they're figuring out body limitations. Mm-hmm. And they are spending the majority of the time sitting or playing on the floor, doing sensory bins rather than being outside. Mm-hmm.
So it's just not that I love sensory bins. I'm a sensory bin mom. I love that kind of stuff. Putting together little things for her to play with.
I love that for you, Kate.
Yeah.
I think that's sweet
okay.
of you.
I only
that's really sweet of you.
I only have
my
one,
kids are the ones that are steady on their feet because they just
climb
trees outside.
Well, mine has not gotten to the tree part, but during the winter when we weren't outside as much, that we did some sensory bin stuff because I was like, I want to be outside, but we
fun.
Can't.
Not dissing it.
Yeah, no. Same. Yeah. Well, I just have the one kid, though. So check in with me in a couple years. But I don't know what I was saying. But anyways, we love being outside, and I'm trying to not be a helicopter mom. So if you are interested in that of the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. I've never listened to it, but I've gone to their bin, like at homeschool conventions.
Their bin.
I've gone to their sensory bin.
Yeah.
Homeschool convention.
So anyway.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
Yeah.
I think they have a book too, don't they?
She has two.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yep.
I don't really have time to listen to podcasts. I know what you mean. Where it's like you come to a certain point in motherhood where you're like, I don't really listen to stuff anymore.
Right.
Because there's people talking to me all day long, and that's fine.
Yeah.
So I had to make the choice at one point in my life where I was like, I think I'm just going to stop listening to podcasts because I more want to listen to audiobooks. So that's basically all I do now is listen. If I get a slice of time, like if I'm going for a walk or we're on a drive or I'm working or something, I'll listen to my audiobook. Right now I'm going through Great Expectations and I'm really enjoying that.
What about you?
Do you listen to stuff?
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
Oh, well, yeah. You have your time right now.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm helping clean some houses and stuff in the afternoons. And so not every afternoon, but here and there. And I enjoy listening to audiobooks during that time. I just finished Giving Your Words by Sally Clarkson, talking about being a verbal home and how to use your words to build up your home rather than tear it down. It was really good. I listened to that one. And then I was going to listen to Through the Gates of Splendor. Was very excited for it. Went to turn it on the other day, only to find out that I did not read the Cloud Library description correctly, and it was not an audiobook. It was an ebook.
Oh, shoot.
I was like, well, I can't do that. So I need to find that on, because I haven't actually read that one all the way through. I read part of it and then got distracted a few years ago, and so I want to go
is
back.
Is that Adnaram Judson, or is that?
No, it's Elizabeth Elliot, but it's
okay.
The story of Jim Elliot. Through the Gates of Splendor.
Yeah.
Hmm. I'm
trying to think about what's the name of the Adoniram Judson one. Hmm. It's something similar.
But I'm listening to that one right now. And then podcast-wise, I don't know. I can't remember the last. Sometimes I listen to Emma's for Mama.
I feel like I listen to a Hattie sometimes.
Yes, I listen to that one. Sheologians is really good. I like that one. But I'd like to listen to $1,000 Outside. That sounds good.
Yeah. All right, we should probably stop and go eat tacos.
We probably should.
We're going to eat some tacos now. So thank you for listening. Enjoy your summer.